Welcome to a new week of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 222. I'm Steve Webb and I'm your host. Great to see you today. How was your weekend? Mine was good. Among other things, I had breakfast with fellow podcaster and voiceover guy, Mr. Wayne Henderson, on Saturday morning. He blames me, of all people, or credits me, I guess I should say, with introducing him to podcasting. Way back in 2005, the local newspaper here in Riverside did a front page story on the, at the time, brand new medium of podcasting, and they featured yours truly in the article. I even got a picture on the front page, as I remember. Anyway, Wayne saw the article and was hooked. Since then, he's had several successful podcasts, including one on the TV show Lost. He's got another Green Bay Packers fan podcast, and also one on the TV show Under the Dome. So, those are fun shows, and you should take a listen. Check out his website at mediavoiceovers.com if you've got a moment. Thanks, Wayne, for a very enjoyable morning and for picking up the tab. Appreciate it. Next time it's my turn in your neck of the woods. This week, our Bible translation will be the easy-to-read version, and today we'll read Judges chapter 6. Let's begin. Judges chapter 6. Again, the Israelites did what the Lord said was wrong. So for 7 years, the Lord allowed the Midianites to defeat the Israelites. The Midianites were very powerful and were cruel to the Israelites. So the Israelites made many hiding places in the mountains. They hid their food in caves in places that were hard to find. They did that because the Midianites and Amalekites from the east always came and destroyed their crops. They camped in the land and destroyed the crops that the Israelites had planted. They ruined the crops of the Israelites as far as the land near the city of Gaza. They did not leave anything for the Israelites to eat. They did not even leave them any sheep, cattle, or donkeys. The Midianites came with their families, animals, and tents. They were like a swarm of locusts. They and their camels were too many to count. They came into the land and ruined it. The Israelites became very poor because of the Midianites. So the Israelites cried to the Lord for help. The Midianites did all these bad things, so the Israelites cried to the Lord for help. The Lord sent a prophet to them. He said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. You were slaves in the land of Egypt. I made you free and brought you out of that land. I saved you from the powerful Egyptians. Then the Canaanites hurt you, so I saved you again. I made them leave their land, and I gave their land to you. Then I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. You will live in the land of the Amorites, but you must not worship their false gods.' But you did not obey me." One time the angel of the Lord came to a place named Ophrah and sat under an oak tree. This oak tree belonged to a man named Joash from the Abiezer family. His son Gideon was beating some wheat in a winepress. He was hiding so that the Midianites could not see the wheat. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord be with you, brave soldier." Then Gideon said, "Pardon me, sir, but if the Lord is with us, why are we having so many troubles? We heard that he did wonderful things for our ancestors. They tell us that the Lord took them out of Egypt, but now it seems the Lord has left us and is letting the Midianites defeat us." The Lord turned toward Gideon and said, "Then use your great power and go save the Israelites from the Midianites. I am sending you to save them." But Gideon answered and said, "Pardon me, sir, how can I save Israel? My family group is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the youngest one in my family." The Lord answered Gideon and said, "I will be with you, so you can defeat the Midianites as easily as if they were only one man." Then Gideon said to him, "If you would, please give me some proof that you really are the Lord. Please wait here. Don't go away until I come back to you. Let me bring my offering and set it down in front of you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and cooked a young goat in boiling water. He also took about 20 pounds of flour and made bread without yeast. Then he put the meat into a basket and the broth from the meat into a pot. He brought out the meat, the broth, and the bread without yeast and gave them to the Lord under the oak tree. The angel of God said to Gideon, "Put the meat and the bread on that rock over there. Then pour the broth on it." Gideon did as he was told. The angel of the Lord had a walking stick in his hand. He touched the meat and the bread with the end of the stick, and fire jumped up out of the rock and burned up the meat and the bread. Then the angel of the Lord disappeared. Then Gideon realized that he had been talking to the angel of the Lord. So he shouted, "O Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to Gideon, "Calm down, don't be afraid, you will not die." So Gideon built an altar there to worship the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." It still stands in the city of Ophrah, where the Abiezer family lives. That same night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Choose your father's best bull, the one that is 7 years old. First, use it to pull down the altar your father built to worship Baal. Also, cut down the Asherah pole beside the altar. Then build the right kind of altar for the Lord your God. Build it on this high ground. Then kill and burn the bull on this altar. Use the wood from the Asherah pole to burn your offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did what the Lord had told him to do. But Gideon was afraid that his family and the men of the city might see what he was doing, so he did it all at night, not in the daytime. The men of the city got up the next morning and saw that the altar for Baal had been destroyed. They also saw that the Asherah pole had been cut down. It had been sitting next to the altar for Baal. They also saw the altar that Gideon had built, and they saw the bull that had been sacrificed on that altar. The men of the city looked at each other and asked, "Who pulled down our altar? Who cut down our Asherah pole? Who sacrificed this bull on this new altar?" They asked many questions and tried to learn who did this. Someone told them, "Gideon, son of Joash, did this." So the men of the city came to Joash and said, "You must bring your son out. He pulled down the altar for Baal, and he cut down the Asherah pole that was beside it. So your son must die." Then Joash spoke to the crowd that was standing around him. Joash said, "Are you going to take Baal's side? Are you going to rescue Baal? If anyone takes Baal's side, let him be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, let him defend himself when someone pulls down his altar." Joash said, "If Gideon pulled Baal's altar down, let Baal argue with him." On that day, Joash gave Gideon a new name. He called him Jerub-Baal. The Midianites, Amalekites, and other people from the east joined together to fight against the Israelites. They went across the Jordan River and camped in the Jezreel Valley. The Spirit of the Lord filled Gideon, so Gideon blew a trumpet to call the family of Abiezer to follow him. He sent messengers to all the people of the tribe of Manasseh and told them to get their weapons and prepare for battle. Gideon also sent messengers to the tribe of Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. The messengers took the same message to them, so they also went up to meet Gideon and his men. Then Gideon said to God, "You said that you would help me save the Israelites. Give me proof. I will put a sheepskin on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the sheepskin, while all the ground is dry, I will know that you will use me to save Israel, as you said." And that is exactly what happened. Gideon got up early the next morning and squeezed the sheepskin. He was able to drain a bowl full of water from it. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me ask just one more thing. Let me test you one more time with the sheepskin. This time, let the sheepskin be dry while the ground around it gets wet with dew." That night, God did that very thing. Just the sheepskin was dry, but the ground around it was wet with dew. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. You know, you gotta love Gideon. God comes to him, and the first thing he does is question him. "Excuse me, but if the Lord is with us, why are we having so many troubles?" And then he says, "Pardon me, but how can I save Israel? I'm the youngest one of the weakest family in the tribe." And then, "If it's not too much trouble, prove to me that you're really the Lord." So then God proves that he's God, and Gideon panics. "Oh Lord God, I've seen God face to face." And then God lovingly calms him down, as he's so good at doing. He calms him down so much that Gideon builds an altar on that spot and names it, "The Lord is Peace." You'd think that would settle it, right? Nah. Just before going into battle, the battle that God had told Gideon that he, God, would give him victory in, Gideon asks God for proof that he would indeed bring him victory. Not once did he ask, but twice. We look at Gideon as we read this chapter and we say, "Come on, Gideon, O ye of little faith. Here God appears to you and you question him? Not once, but 5 times in just 40 verses. Dude, what do you want? Criminy." You know why we have the Bible, right? Yes, it's God's way of revealing Himself to us, but it's also so that we can see that our weaknesses need not separate us from God. Talk about a weak faith. 5 times Gideon questioned God, and God looked beyond his doubts and gave Gideon what he needed to build him up so that he, God, could accomplish something great through this very weak vessel. Do you feel weak? Do you doubt that God can use you? It is always the weak, frail, damaged vessel that God chooses. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a pillar of the community or a towering example of faith. God has something that He wants you to accomplish. I'm as sure of that as anything in this world. If you are hearing my voice right now, you are on this planet for a God reason. If you know God has asked you to do something, but you've been putting it off because you don't feel worthy, get busy. If you don't know what He wants you to do, ask Him, and keep asking until you get an answer. I guarantee He will answer you. That's the kind of prayer that He loves. And when you doubt, remember Gideon. Hey, thanks for being here today. Let's do it again tomorrow when we'll start the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. And I'd love to hear what God is calling you to do. Write me an email, steve@lifespringmedia.com. Really, take a couple of minutes, send me off an email. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.